How do we make it so we get our kids back in class in a not just in this pandemic, but in future issues? How do we make sure that they have a clear right to in-person instruction? We know absolutely the science is clear. Everybody likes to talk about science, that this is doing harm to our children. And we still have about half the children, you know, 500,000-600,000 kids around the state that haven't been in a classroom in a year. So, of course, they didn't take the amendment because they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to do anything about it. They don't want to talk about it. That doesn't mean they don't care about kids. It just means they're willing to defer to the governor and others on this issue, which is frustrating to me.
Well, and Senator Braun, they've deferred to the governor pretty much the entire time here. And this seems to be a point of frustration for Senate Republicans, House Republicans, and a good portion of the residents of Washington State, that early on in the legislative session, the majority party decided that they wanted to be a bystander and not be a co-equal branch of government.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it makes no sense to me. I mean, these are decent people that want to do a good job, and yet they just willing to sit on their hands and will not speak up. And this doesn't have to be anti-governor. Look, we know a lot more than we knew a year ago. You know, our emergency powers laws just do not make sense for this type of an emergency. We all know that, and it's not being hard on anybody to say we ought to fix them so they're better for this one and better for the future. And I want to back up a second. I said on the school issue, they're not even deferring to the governor. The governor's finally come to our side on this issue. They're deferring to the teachers union on this issue, on the school issue.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that they've been the biggest ones to push back are the unions, the WEA and all the subsidiaries around the state. We're talking with Republican Senate Leader John Braun here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA.
Now, Senator Braun, along those same lines, those of us away from Olympia look at what the legislature is and isn't doing, and maybe you can either agree or disagree or give us some insight into this. It seems like those on the Democratic side, both the House and Senate, but we'll focus on the Senate because that's your chamber, mm-hmm. are doing what they want because they know they have the numbers, and in public they may put up a little bit of a face that there is bipartisan efforts underway, but it doesn't seem like that. Behind closed doors, are the Republicans a part of what's going on in Olympia?
Well, a couple. Well, there's no behind closed doors these days. We all just meet on Zoom or Teams. But no, the answer to your question is no, we're not truly involved. If we're lucky, they'll ask us an opinion, but we are not invited to any of the negotiations. Our opinions on the most serious matters of the session, and that, you know, in my opinion, the most serious matter is the budget. You know, we're not really consulted. Now, I think we have had some opportunity to influence the budget, but that's because we got ahead of them and showed that there's some great things you can do in a budget like this, and they emulated some of that, and I certainly appreciate that. But that's a big difference between you know, having some distant influence and actually sitting in the room and helping discuss a budget that's going to have enormous impact on our state. So simple answer to your question is no, and they seem to be somewhat indifferent about it.
Now, previously, before you became the Senate leader, you were the budget lead, and I'm sure that there was also discussions, you know, when the Senate Republicans released their proposed budget, that you were involved with that. But now that you are the minority leader, is the view a bit different, or what are some of the more challenging things for you personally?
Well, I mean, it's not a large caucus. We're 21 people, so even, you know, even prior to this, we're all working together on much the same things. I think for me, the difference is my focus even more than before is how do we stop being in the minority? How do we convince the people of the state of Washington that the Republicans could do a better job governing our state? And I think that has a lot to do with why we pushed for our own budget. That shows that we're not just a party of no. We're not just a party of pithy statements. We can actually produce, you know, detailed and comprehensive work that shows how we could deliver better results for individual people and families around the state. So that's much more of my focus, is how do we make the case that we can deliver better ideas and be more effective and lead to better lives for the people of the state of Washington. And that's hard to get the message across when you're in MRD. You got a relatively small microphone, and you got a lot of stuff you got to share with a lot of people around the state.
And we're talking with Senator John Braun here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA.
You know, Senator Braun, in this legislative session particularly, you know, we know a few years back, Senator Tim Sheldon began caucusing with the Republicans, gave the Republicans a small minority for a period of time there in the Senate. This session, Senator Mullett has voted with Republicans on a number of occasions, particularly some pretty onerous bills. But why do you think that you know Senator Mullett has come over and voted with Republicans on a couple things, and is that sending a message to some of the more rural districts on the western side of the state that even if Democrats are voting with Republicans on some of these bills, that maybe it's time that people open their eyes a little bit further as to what is going to potentially happen as a result of the passage of these pieces of legislation?
Well, that's a lot of question. I mean, first of all, I work very well with Senator Mullett. I think highly of him. He shares some of our priorities when it comes to understanding what makes our state's economy effective long term, and how do we build a budget that is you know, solid and robust and provides a good social safety net, but is sustainable and reasonable and on solid ground. So we have a lot of, you know, shared principles in that area. I think, you know, I certainly don't want to speak for him. I think he has some concern that his party is being pulled further to the left, and it's just not sustainable. So I think that's all you're seeing there. We're happy to work with him. We're happy to work with anybody from the other side of the aisle. We don't view it as us against them. It's how do we get the best results for the state of Washington? We don't think what the conclusions they're coming to will deliver the best results for the state of Washington. So we're full on trying to show, hey, why those aren't the best results, and what are the best policies to give us a great future here in the state of Washington.
We're talking with Senate Republican Leader John Braun here at The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA. You know, you mentioned about convincing others in Washington State that Republicans have could have a better way of leading the state. Over on the eastern side of the state, Senator Braun, I'm not sure you're aware, but some of the county Republican parties have been growing. But most of the representation here, with the exception of three seats in one district in Spokane, are all Republican representation. It seems the convincing has to come on the other side of the Cascades, and it's always been a surprise to me that some of the more rural districts on the west side don't seem to see that a lot of the policies being put forward are going to hurt them. What do you think it's going to take for the western side of the state to see what's happening and affect that change?
That's a good question. I think it's happening already. You know, we saw in this last in the election last fall that the 19th district, which is down in Southwest Washington, where I'm from, a very rural district, resource dependent, it shifted from blue to red in one cycle. We had one House member that was a Republican from that district, and we ended up with all three members being Republican. And I think we're seeing the same thing start to be recognized up in the 24th, up on the peninsula. You know, they have a couple cities up there that lean heavily to the left, so I think it'll take a little longer time. The folks are looking around and saying, hey, the Democrats, they're no longer paying attention to what makes our lives better, and they're ignoring us as they follow down the path of hard environmentalism or tax and spend. You can talk about all kinds of different things, but you're right. There is a growing recognition in rural Western Washington that the D's are not interested in the things that make their life better. They're only interested in the things that work in downtown Seattle, or I should say, frankly, don't work in downtown Seattle. But here's the math. I think we win those districts eventually, but to get back in the majority, which is what we want to do, we got to also win in the suburbs around the central, you know, around the, you know, Puget Sound Crescent, as they call it. We're going to have to win there. That means we got to come. We can't just offer solutions that work in eastern Washington or southwest Washington, up in northwest Washington. We got to work on solutions that work for all of Washington, and I believe we have. Unlike the other side, we've laid out plans that go after statewide issues and help all of Washington. They don't just help the districts in the central Puget Sound and Seattle and Bellevue and Redmond that have entirely different economic structure than some of the rest of us. So I think we're doing the right thing. We got to convince people that it's the right thing, and that's going to just take some time. We're going to have to keep working at it.
You know, Senator Braun, one of the things that we get beaten up about here on the eastern side of the state are our dams. They keep saying that it's a problem for the salmon and that it affects the southern resident orca. Yet what we continue to not hear from the environmentalists pushing this is the amount of waste that gets dumped into the Puget Sound that junior Chinook salmon as well as orcas have tested positive for opioids because of everything that's been dumped in that water. They wind up ingesting it. They ingest, the orcas obviously ingest the salmon. It gets into their systems and so on and so forth. When are we going to start hearing or seeing some things that where Republicans take the lead on this issue and go, wait a second, it's not dams. That's not what the problem is. The problem is the fact that King County isn't being responsible and these things are getting dumped into the Sound and affecting the orcas and the fish.
You are spot on, and we have been. I mean, we need to. It sounds like we're not getting it to everybody, but we have been hot on their worry, their claims about the damage the dams are doing, and explain to them, all the important aspects of the dam, what it means to eastern Washington, and frankly to western Washington. They like to conveniently look past the dams that are in western Washington, but your bigger point, which is, if you really want to get the Puget Sound cleaned up. If you really want to help the salmon, you really want to help the orcas, and I don't think there's anybody out there that doesn't want to do that. The difference is we want to do it in a sustainable way that we can not just start but finish. You got to go after stormwater. If you look at the legacy stormwater systems in Seattle, Tacoma, and what kind of pollutants they put into the Sound, that's the source of your problem. You know, cranking down a little bit more on already, highly regulated new stormwater is not fixing the problem and will not fix the problem. The bulk of the problem comes from legacy systems, and we've been working on that type of approach to investment in water structure for years. That's just not, it's more fun to talk about let's have a new carbon tax rather than do stuff that really, really helps our environment.
We're talking with Senator John Braun. He is the Senate Republican leader here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 K1A. One more question for you, Senator Braun. We appreciate the amount of time you've had for us today. We know that the House is still sitting on the capital gains bill. We know that Senator Vanderweg wanted the emergency clause out. Senator Vanderweg, Democrat, of course, in the Senate in Washington State. He wanted the emergency clause out. The House is debating on whether to put it back in. If that emergency clause goes back in, do you believe the bill dies when it comes back to the Senate?
Well, I'd hope so. I don't think the bill makes it out of the Senate with the emergency clause. Now, I think there's some possibility that if it comes back, the emergency clause, they go to conference, and the conference ends up taking it out. I feel pretty confident we have the votes to not allow the bill to move forward with an emergency clause. They just have too many other options. I don't know why they're holding it. I mean, the speaker's been really clear. She plans on passing it out. It could be that the longer she holds it, the less time there are for citizens to put together a referendum. That might be it. I mean, I know they're worried about a referendum. A lot of, private talk about, we have to be, that we have to be quick about this because we know the voters don't like it. I mean, the polling is very clear. Voters are and have been for 80, almost 100 years opposed to an income tax, and this is just a capital gains income tax. So it's hard for me to tell. First, I thought they would run it through the House really quickly. They obviously aren't doing that. I think they clearly understand that the emergency clause isn't going to make it through the Senate, so I don't know why they'd try that. So there's probably some other reason I don't claim to always understand the Democratic majorities in our state.
Yes, let's hold on to it as long as we can so we can screw the residents of the state and make sure their voice can't be heard. That's a fantastic policy.
That's what it seems like to me. I mean, it's a terrible policy. I mean, this is, if they really believe this is the right answer, and I don't share that opinion. I think it's a terrible answer. But if that's what they really believe, they should do it out in the light of day. Let the voters weigh in. That's the right way to do it. And they know it.